So let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Move this little guy. That's where we're going to be at this morning. We're going to talk about love this morning, which is always a hard topic to talk about because we love everything nowadays. It's such an overused word, whether it's our kids or our dogs. Nobody loves cats, obviously. I do. Snickers is a great cat because Snickers thinks he's a dog. That's what makes him. Yeah, he is. He is a cool cat. But yeah, we love everything: coffee, tacos, this song, that movie, all of it. We use this one word to describe the way we feel about all these different things, and we like it that way. We made it that way because we don't enjoy college football. We love college football. That's right. That's right. It's really kind of silly that we do that, though, because English is one of those languages that has so many different words that mean the same thing. Yet we keep this one word and we force it to mean all these different things. Well, the Hebrew of the Old Testament does not do that. And the Greek of the New Testament doesn't do that either. And I want to share an example of that first thing. This is in John 21, verses 15 through 17. We'll have it up on the screen if you don't want to turn there. But in this passage, Jesus and his dear friend Peter are having a conversation. And this conversation takes place after Jesus' resurrection. It's a conversation where Jesus asks Peter three different times if Peter loves him. A lot of folks think Jesus does this so he can help Peter make up for the three times that Peter denied knowing him. Well, I want to read those three verses, 15 through 17 of John 21. I want to read it twice. The first time I read them, I'm going to use the English word love that's in the text, in the English text. And then I want to do it with the original Greek word that's in its place, if that's okay. So John 21, verse 15. Here we go. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Okay, Greek words now. Verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you agapeo me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you agapeo me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you phileo me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I phileo you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So hang with me here. It's going to get a little nerdy. But in those verses, Mr. English uses one word, love, all through it. But Mr. Greek uses two, phileo and agapeo. Now, if you've spent a lot of time in churches, you've probably heard about the different Greek words that get translated love in the New Testament. Preachers love to talk about that. It makes them feel smart. There's four of them total. And two of them are here in John 21. One of those words is phileo. It comes from the root word philos. It's the love of deep friendship and partnership. One pastor said that this is the highest level of love that man is capable of without God's help. So when Peter tells Jesus, "You know I love you," You know I phileo you. What he's saying is, Jesus, I'm giving you all I have. I cannot love you any more than I already do. And that's not a bad thing. But that's not what Jesus asked him, is it? What did he ask him? Do you agapeo me? He asked him that twice. And based on the full conversation, it doesn't seem like Peter was really picking up what Jesus was putting down. But Jesus agapeos Peter. And so he reaches down to Peter. He comes down to Peter's level of understanding on the third question. Because that's what Jesus does, right? He reaches down to us and pulls us up. He doesn't expect us to work our way up to him. He says, Peter, son of John, do you phileo me? It really upsets Peter too, because Peter's not sure what kind of answer Jesus is looking for. But as the chapter rocks on, Jesus tells Peter what he wants. And he does it in a very Jesus way. In verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And John, our writer, is kind enough to explain to us why Jesus said that. In verse 19, he wrote, this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. So Peter phileos Jesus, which is awesome, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Phileo will take you all the way to the edge of your self-preservation, but when you get there, you'll turn around. You'll shrink back from the work. You might even deny that you ever knew Jesus at all. And really, y'all, for most relationships, that's enough. But for Jesus, that's not enough. It's just not enough. We have to be willing to go over the wire beyond self-preservation into self-sacrifice. But at this moment, Peter's not willing to do that. But he will be. He will be. The day is coming when Peter will be willing to do that. The day is coming when Peter will freely die for his king, because his love for Jesus has moved from phileo to agapeo. In fact, according to tradition, not the biblical text, but church tradition, when Peter was chained and led to the place of his execution, he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel he was worthy to die the same way as his Savior. That's agapeo. That's agapeo. It is total disregard for one's own ambitions, one's own personal well-being, for the good of someone else, to the point that you are willing to give all of yourself for that someone. And you might be thinking, Mike, that sounds impossible. It is. It very much is. Without the Spirit of God living inside of us and growing us more like Jesus, it is impossible. Which is why Jesus, with tears in his eyes, looks at his dear friend Peter and says, follow me. Follow me. Because following Jesus, I mean intentionally and consistently, is the only way this deep change takes place. It's only through following Jesus, because this is not in us. We can't do this apart from him. Twice Jesus asked Peter if he agapeoed him. And twice he told Peter, follow me. The word agapeo comes from the root word agape, which is a word most church people are familiar with. But most of us don't know or may not know that that word agape is born out of the word agony. I know, it's crazy, but it's a Jesus kind of crazy. You know what I mean? The idea is that you value this person. You value this achievement or you value this thing so much that you are willing to suffer, you are willing to struggle, you are willing to fight and crawl and sacrifice whatever you have to for this object, for this person. because this person is where you focus your deepest affections. Does that sound like somebody we know? When the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only unique son, that word is agape, agapeo. That's the way God loves. That is the type of love that Jesus has for each one of you. That nothing, not even death itself, was going to keep him from making you his own. And y'all, that is the type of relentless and reckless love that he is asking all of us to step into. Not because we're capable of that kind of love, but specifically because we're not. Because we are not. So the only way that we can live Jesus' life, the only way we could continue his story and love the way he does, is if we follow him and we learn from him and we have our hearts transformed by him. Just like Peter. It's the same formula. But you see, in John 21, Peter's not there yet. He's just not there. So after verse 19, he and Jesus start walking down the beach, continuing their conversation. And verse 20 tells us that Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? And that's John. He never refers to himself by name. I don't know what kind of issue this guy has with that, but that's what he does. In verse 21, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, so when Peter saw John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Y'all, Peter is so much like us. He worries about things he shouldn't worry about. He compares himself to people he should not be comparing himself to. He gets distracted real easy. And just like he did when he stepped out of the boat and onto that lake, y'all remember that story? What did he do? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. Well, in this case, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he put them on John. Now, is that a bad thing? No. But Jesus is better. Jesus is always better. It's great to have a godly role model in your life. I pray we all have that. Someone who we can look to and someone we can learn from. But no matter how awesome that person is, they ain't Jesus. They will never be Jesus. And us trying to put them in a place that only Jesus belongs is not fair to that person because they'll never live up to that expectation. Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus is our most loyal friend. Now, our eyes may shift to other things from time to time, but our hearts need to always be following Jesus. Because the love he requires from us is not possible apart from him. It's just not. And this agape is the love our friend Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13. I know I took the long way around, but this is what Paul writes about in 13. So when I joked the other week about chapter 13 not being about weddings, it's really not, but I don't think Paul has any specific application in mind here. I don't think he writes 13 so he can affirm something that's already present in the church at Corinth. I think he writes it to usher in something that's not there yet, something that needs to be there. I think he writes 13 so he can show his friends this new ethic that Jesus was trying to teach Peter on that beach. Because just like Peter, Paul's friends, they're not there yet. They're not able to follow Jesus and serve his church and survive all the chaos in their culture. They need this new ethic. Of all the gifts that they have, they still lack the more excellent way. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Y'all, the love Paul's referring to is agape. All 8 times the word is used in chapter 13, the word is agape. This is what Jesus wanted from Peter. And Paul needs his friends to understand that speaking in tongues is good, but love is better. Love is better. Prophecy, knowledge, faith, miracles are all amazing, but love is better. Charity and sacrifice are both very noble pursuits, but love is better. It's always better. Verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Y'all, agape love is all these things. It does all these things. Paul wants his friends to see that if love is not actionable, it's not agape. Agape is the greatest commandment in Scripture. It's also the second greatest according to Jesus. Agape is what saved the world when he hung on a cross because he loved us to the end. So, is agape something we feel or is it something we do? Yes. Yes. Because, y'all, if love is only a feeling and it requires no action, the danger is it can lead us to a place where we see Jesus as Savior, but we don't obey Him as Lord. And that doesn't work because Jesus is either both or He's neither. Because Jesus decides what He is, not us. Not us. So agape requires both feeling and action. Because Peter doesn't die a martyr's death just over a feeling. Paul doesn't die a martyr's death just over a feeling. They died the way they died because they followed Jesus close and they learned from Jesus' teaching and Jesus' example. That's what verses 4 through 7 are. They're Jesus' example. Verse 8 says, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Y'all, love is not temporary. Praise Jesus. Love is not temporary. It is not given for a certain time and now is no longer useful. It is not restrained by language or culture. It is not limited by time or space. Love never ends. It never ends. These gifts the Corinthians want so bad, these spectacular, attention-bringing gifts, they're all going away. They're all going away. Because unlike love, they're temporary. They were meant to be temporary. And when the perfect comes, Paul says, when the perfect comes and we stand face to face with Him, all the gifts will go away. And only the more excellent way will be left. Because love never ends. It never ends. Paul says in verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And what that means, basically, is there is a time and a season for everything. And that includes the gifts. There is a time and a season for everything. But a time is coming when they will no longer be necessary or useful, and they'll be put away. And that's okay. That's okay. Because when that time comes, guess what's still going to be here? Love. Because love is the more excellent way. And y'all, Paul, he ends this masterpiece of a passage with such a simple and profound sentence. We call it verse 13. It says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." These are the three great pursuits of the Christian life. It's not tongues, prophecy, and miracles. It's faith, hope, and love. And we don't need to guess which one of these three pursuits is the most important, because Paul tells us the greatest of these is love. Now, why is that? Because love never ends. It never ends. It continues always. It even grows in the glory to come. It doesn't stop here. It continues on with us. When our time here is over and we stand in front of Jesus and we see Him as He is, we won't need faith, because He'll be right there. We won't need hope anymore either, because He'll be standing right there. But love will be there. Love will remain. Love will forever grow deeper and stronger. It will not stop. It will only spread further and further for all of eternity. And that's not just our love for Jesus, but that will be our love for each other as well. There's a community of believers in heaven. Did y'all know that? It's going to be pretty spectacular. And our love for each other will continue to grow, just like our love for Jesus will continue to grow. So if we want this, we can't have this without Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. And it's not something we ask Him for one time. When we set our minds to follow Jesus, He plants this seed inside us. And as we follow Him and as we learn from Him, it grows. That's the only way it grows. Because the seed of agape can only grow in close proximity to the light of Jesus. That's it. That's it. So while people who are far from Jesus, even people who don't believe in Jesus, they can love, but they can't love like this. They can't do this. They can't empty themselves enough for love like this to have room to grow. So let me encourage all of us. Let's stay close to Jesus. Let's lean on Jesus. Let's lean into Jesus. Let's let Him grow this more excellent way in our lives. Because only He can do that. And if you're not sure how to do that and you want to talk about it, or you want to talk about anything, I'm going to be right over here. If, in case people wonder why I stand over here during the last song, it's in case you want to come pray, or you want to talk to me about something or whatever. I'm going to be over there. And if we got a room back there that's empty, if you want to step back there, have some privacy, talk about something you don't want other people knowing about, we can do that too. We can do whatever you want. But right now, we're going to sing. We're going to sing one last song to our great Jesus. And I would just encourage you, if there's something Jesus has been pushing you about, if there's something you've been wrestling with or struggling with, start to deal with that today. I mean, our world is getting darker and darker by the day. The only thing we can do to push back against that is move closer to the light of Jesus. That's all we can do. So let's do that this morning. I'll pray for us. Father, thank You for allowing us all to gather. What a blessed gift it is to gather in the sacred assembly, to sing songs to Jesus, to open His Word together, to learn about Him from Him together. Such a beautiful gift. One that we don't always take advantage of like we should. And Lord, I just thank You so much for what You teach us in Your Word, the example You give us. You show us how to love in a way that pleases You, that mirrors You, that helps show You to other people. You not only tell us what that love looks like, Jesus, You showed us what that love looks like. And I pray that You would help us all to walk in that love, because it's not something we can do on our own. And Lord, we don't want to be fake. We don't want to just put on a veneer. We don't want to wear a mask. We don't want to be a certain person one day and a different person the rest of the days. Lord, we want to be following you all of our days, staying close to you, learning from you, growing to be more like you, walking in the light that you give, Jesus. We have no light of our own. All we can do is reflect yours. So I thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you for these sweet folks. I thank you for the way that you care about every part of our lives. There is nothing going on in our minds or in our lives that you don't care about, that you don't want to make better, that you don't want us to give to you so that you can make it better. You care about all of us. You love us body, mind, and soul. And Jesus, I thank you so much for that. That we have a God who loves all of us. Thank you so much for your great love, for your great agape. We thank you so much for smiling down on us and being with us this morning. It's in your beautiful name we pray. Amen.